Father in heaven, as we come now to open your word, to be fed from the preached word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would illuminate our hearts and minds. We would see new things, believe more deeply. Sense your grace in the midst of conviction and long to be transformed by your renewing work. Thank you for every person that is present here and those who are worshiping with us online. May these words truly bring you glory as they change us for eternity. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, during the Advent season, we're going to be tracing the theme of light and darkness through the gospel, really from the beginning to the end. This morning, I'm going to begin by reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, 1 through 5, then the Gospel of John, and then the book of Hebrews. You can follow along in the bulletin or your own Bible or the Blue Pew Bible in front of you. Listen now as I read. Genesis 1, 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. From the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we enter into the Advent season, I want to draw your attention back first to the words of assurance in our bulletin just after we had our private confession of sins. From Isaiah 9:2, listen carefully. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. This morning, what I would like to do as we start this Advent series is to talk about what does it mean to walk and wait in darkness. And then I want to move towards tracing the light. When we move towards tracing the light, I'm going to give you a number of words that signify a reality. But let's begin with, what does it mean to walk and wait in darkness? Right now, this morning, every person that is in here, and those who are with us online, and those who will be at 11, and those who were at 8, every one of us, as creatures, live in a world that is dark, in a world that is in decay. Every one of you don't just experience that from a distance, you experience the darkness close, so close that it's inside you. The darkness comes in many forms, but if we don't really understand the darkness, we can't appreciate the power of the light of Jesus Christ. There are those in our body right now who are suffering profound grief, depression, broken relationships, tough things at work, tough things in the family. Darkness is a reality, and we have to walk in it, and we have to wait in it. Darkness is scary. Sometimes we don't want to appear scared. We want to act as if we're not afraid of the dark. But I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, you are afraid of the dark. You are afraid of what you can't see. and you're afraid of what you think you see, and then you're afraid of what you do see. Remember as a child, even if you tried to be brave, there was a part of you that was afraid of the dark. There was about 100 yards of distance between 8204 Northwest 38th Street and 8304 Northwest 38th Street, my hometown. I lived at 8204, that was my home. My best friend Todd Alfonso lived at 8304. I remember around third or fourth grade, Todd and I were watching a scary movie. It was a Saturday night. The movie ended around 10. Mr. Alfonso, Todd's dad, said, "It's time to leave, Mark." He opened the door for me. I stepped onto the porch, and I looked about 100 yards down to my porch and my light. I waited. He shut the door. He turned off the light. And I stayed put. I wasn't going to go. There's no way I'm walking into that darkness, even though I can see the light. So I turned and I knocked on the door. Mr. Alfonso answers, and he could have said many things. He could have said, "Go home, I'll watch you." He could have said, he could have not even opened the door and said, "Go," but he didn't. Instead, he said, "Todd, walk Mark home and then come back." So Todd, a fellow third grader, fourth grader, I can't remember, ran with me to my house. I got on the porch, I opened the door, said goodnight to Todd, shut the door. And Todd stayed on the porch. He looked back at the light, and then he knocked on our door. My dad said, "Mark, walk Todd home." We didn't walk, we ran. This is a true story. We did that a number of times. It was a mixture of fear and becoming funny, but there's no way either one of us had the strength in ourselves to do it. So Mr. Alfonso finally said, "I'll take you." He grabbed our hands. We didn't run. We walked to my house. I went inside. I closed the door. He walked his son back. That's a silly story. It's a true story. But right now, you're somewhere between 8204 and 8304. You're experiencing pain and darkness, or you're close to someone who is. And in that reality, we are tempted to say, "I can do it. In fact, I'm so confident I can do it, I don't even need to tell anybody about the pain I'm going through." In fact, we can become so sick that we actually think it's weak to say, "I'm in trouble, I'm hurting, I'm broken. This darkness that I'm walking in, this waiting that I'm called into, I just need to do it by myself. And it's lonely and it's isolating." And you can't do it on your own. We are afraid of what we can't see. How dark could the world get? How bad could our health get? How far could our children struggle? Can my marriage ever get better? Will I ever get married? We're afraid of what we can't see. But we're also afraid of what we think we see. And here is where the imagination goes to work. A boss sends an email that says, "I want to talk to you about something." We think we know what it is, but we're not sure. You feel a lump, or you see something on your skin, and you think you know what it might be, and you're scared of what you think you see. You're in a relationship that you long to improve, but you're watching it deteriorating, and you think you see the end coming. And then we're afraid of what we do see. She does break up. The doctor does say it's cancer. Your child says things to you you could never have imagined. We're all there. And we're going to be in that kind of place at some level until Christ returns. We will walk and wait in darkness. And he knows that. We just sang, "He came to earth to taste our sadness." And he did. all the way to the darkest day in the history of creation, the cross. He came not just to be an idea. He came not just to be a code of morality. He came not just to be one of many boxes we check that says this is what's going to give you the best life. He came to save us and to rescue us and to give us himself for all eternity. And that theme of Christ being the light of the world is what we want to trace. So what I want to do now for a few moments is I want to trace the light. We need to understand the word trace, though, for a moment. And children, this is going to be pretty easy for you to understand. First, tracing is something we do as children. When there is a picture or a set of letters and numbers given to us, and then a teacher or a parent, or if we're old enough, we put a more transparent piece over it. And then shining through that sheet, we see what we're supposed to trace. And we start at the beginning with a pencil or a pen or a Crayola, whatever it is, and we begin to simply write what we see. That's tracing. But tracing is much more than that as we get older. Tracing is about searching and seeking and discovering evidence. That's why if there's a crime scene, they quickly try to set the scene, to secure the scene, so that they can look for traces of evidence that would lead them to the criminal. They hope that the criminal hasn't gone without a trace. And there's another meaning of trace, and that is a faint representation, something that's barely discernible. So let's look at this for a moment. Let's trace the light of Christ from the beginning to the end. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to give you four P's. I don't like this. I don't always love when that kind of stuff happens, but I can't describe it other than it did. So if it's helpful, maybe you can think of like the four C's of buying a diamond ring, right? Cut, clarity, carat, and what's the cost? Those, maybe there's five. I guess there is one more. Color. So maybe I'll give you five P's. But take a deep breath because these are so powerful. And if we miss them, there's nothing in us that would cause others who are walking and waiting in the darkness to say, why are you different? How can you genuinely admit the brokenness of this place and the brokenness that's in you and in your family and still be thriving? Thriving, not in an emotional sense, but in a reality. The word thrive is a botanical term. You're either thriving or you're not. And it should be normative for Christians to thrive, even in the midst of horrific news, because of what you're about to hear. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Let's trace him. First P is presence. Go back to Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That might have been the very first verse you ever read or ever had read to you. And my guess is that when you thought about God creating, you had in your mind simply the Father. But more is present here. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. If you're new to our church, we believe every bit of this word to be true. God has the power to speak, and when he speaks, what he speaks happens if he wills it. God spoke, let there be light. This light came for the first time to a darkness that had never once known any light, not even a small candle. There was no light that had ever been created. And now the Lord speaks, let there be light. Where was Christ? Go to John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word's capitalized. The Word is Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So where was Jesus in the beginning? He was with God because he was God. Christ was there. This one baby that we're celebrating, who was born into a manger, was the one who spoke creation into existence. How do we know? Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The light of the world. We focus on his presence. He was there. Always. Hebrews says it this way. Verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the light is present in the beginning. That's huge. Jesus is not just an idea. He's not just a seasonal, warm, fuzzy feeling to get us through a long winter. Jesus Christ is real, and he was present in the beginning. Secondly, let's talk about his power, the second P. We're in the middle of the Gospel of John as a sermon series. So back in August, early September, I preached this text. Speaking of the power of the light, look with me at verse 5 of John, John 1, 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is not talking about physical darkness. It's talking about the darkness of sin that entered the world. In Genesis 3, Adam and Eve, one man, one woman, were given one command in terms of what not to do. They were told not to eat from this one tree. They did eat from that tree in disobedience. The moment that happened, the darkness entered into them and over them. The Word of God in Genesis 3 tells us that the eyes of both were open. They realized they were naked, and they hid. They hid from the very one who made them. And we're still hiding. We're hiding all the time, even as we walk in darkness and try to do it alone. Adam and Eve's relationship was broken. Their relationship with God was broken. Their understanding of self was broken. That darkness had truly entered. But the people who Isaiah prophesied to, the people who walked in darkness, the promise of this Messiah was coming, and he is now here. And in John's gospel, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is important. In your Bible, back in late August or September, I encouraged you to take your pen or pencil and underline the S in verse 5 at the end of the word shines. Here's why. Every verb up to that point is past tense. But then comes this present tense verb in the Greek. The light shines in the darkness. Underline that S. And here's why. That light didn't just shine, and that light is not one day going to shine again. That light is shining right now. Right now. Whatever waiting in darkness you're doing, whatever walking through darkness you're in, the light of Christ is shining. And the darkness, the Word of God tells us, has not overcome it. That's the power of this light. Jesus is not just an idea. He is a person, the living God. It looked like the darkness won on the day of his crucifixion, but it didn't. He conquered death. Third P is possession. If you as a person have heard the good news of Jesus Christ, and you trusted in him as your Lord and Savior, then you are possessed by him. In other words, he owns you. To make it more clear and even bolder, through the Holy Spirit, He lives in you. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is more present in you than the cancer cells. He is more present in you than the broken heart. He is more present in you than the sin that you're tempted with. He is present in you. This light isn't just an idea that you spend 1 to 20 minutes with each day and then hope to get through as you walk and wait in darkness. It's the very real presence of God in you. Paul said, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? In preaching the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, Jesus said, therefore, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The light he's speaking of is the transformational work of abiding in Jesus that truly shines. And if we are living in pursuit of that light, abiding in Christ, a world that is also walking in darkness, that is also waiting, will see something different. It happens all the time. And it should happen more. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us. His presence from the beginning. His presence through eternity. His presence now. The power of the one who is present in us, who possesses us. Then leads to this final P, which is a promise. Jesus Christ never promised this side of earth to take away our pain. I don't know all of your pain. You don't know all of mine. You're going to have pain if you don't have it now. And even as I say that, the temptation is to be afraid of what you can't see. It's to be afraid of what you think you see. It's to be afraid of what you do see. But what I want you to know is from the Word of God that though Jesus, this side of heaven, where the darkness still is present, where the pain is still present, though he never promised to take away the pain, he promised to give us himself. Advent is a desire in the now for the not yet. Advent, the season we are now in, is a desire in the now for the not yet. Ryan Whitaker Smith, novelist, filmmaker. The not yet is real. It is so real. But so is the now. And so listen to this promise. John, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22:4 says this. They will see his face, and his name will be on their forehead. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. What does that mean? It means that when we trace the history of the light from Genesis 1 all the way through to the end, what we hear from our Lord himself is that for those who are in Christ, one day in glory, there will be no trace of darkness, no small amount, no little bit of darkness that hasn't been overcome by the light. There will be no trace, no trace, no trace of darkness. This side of heaven, there will be more than a trace. And that's why we take his word And through his Holy Spirit, we trace the promises. We trace the power. We trace the presence. Because he has told us who he is and who we are in him. Father in heaven, thank you for seasons like Advent, where all around us, things do change. It's not always for the best, but we recognize what's happening. And all around us, we're going to see things illuminated. And we don't want to simply go through the motions. So please, Holy Spirit, help us to trace the truth of who Jesus is and who we are in him. And Christ, for anyone today who's here that might not know you, help them to trace their own story. And might it be possible today is the day that you are calling them to yourself, your light pursuing them. Friend, if you want to know that you are saved, and you want to know what it means to be in Christ, all you need to do now is simply confess your sin to Christ. Receive him as the Lord and Savior he is. Tell someone that you have prayed that prayer today. Lord, for those of us who are already in Christ, let us never forget there's more to see and understand. Give us a great journey in this season as we walk and wait in darkness. Enable us truly to have the light of Christ shining radiantly through us. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Stand.